This is Richard Wilson speaking. Thank you for downloading One Foot in the Podcast. So I'm a wrinkly, crinkly, but don't shed a tear. I'm not exactly a little old dear. One thing for sure, I'm still bloody well here. One foot in the grave. One foot in the grave. One foot in the grave.
Hello?
Hello, everyone. One for the Podcast is back. I'm back with a one-off special. Since it's Christmas time, I thought we'd... Well, actually, it wasn't my idea. It's my guest's idea. It's Anthony, everybody. Welcome, Anthony.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be on again. How are you doing?
Very good. Yeah, I was just saying as in my introduction there that you wanted to talk about The Wisdom of the Witch. And last year, people may remember you came on to discuss Who's Listening.
Yeah.
And you sort of said, do you mind if we do Wisdom? And yeah, I'm absolutely happy to. We don't need to break it down as meticulously as previously with Tyler. All those years ago, or it seems like many years ago, we did a two-parter on it.
Yes.
Likewise, yeah. We did with Ben for Who's Listening. But it doesn't mean we can't revisit these specials at this time of year and have a good old chinwag. I'm sure it'll go on to more of a generic discussion about One Foot. But anyway... Yeah, so this is your second appearance on the pod, almost a year later.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't actually ask of you, obviously, I know, but listeners who may be interested in what the guest has to say, when did you get into One Foot? What was the first episode you remember watching? What's behind your love for One Foot, Anthony?
Well, I mean, for as far back as I can remember as a child, you know, our house was full of sitcoms on VHS. So, like, for example, I think my first experience of them was Dad's Army, Last of Summer Wine, and Only Fools and Horses. And so with One Foot in the Grave, funnily enough, I always felt a little bit late to the party, I suppose. But I remember, I think I probably would have been around 9 or 10, but I just remember we had The Man Who Blew Away recorded. And I just remember sitting down and watching it and thinking, oh, you know, that was very funny. And I wasn't really thrown by the darkness of it. Like, I know you, because one of the things that often gets said about One Foot in the Grave is that it was one of the first, in fact, I remember listening to the Hearts of Darkness audio commentary. And both Richard Wilson and David Renwick were talking about how it was one of the first sitcoms to really deal with drama in amidst all the comedy and deal with some really dark subject matter. And I remember, obviously, because Man Who Blew Away, it's a pretty dark ending with Mr. Foskett's suicide, even though, obviously, it ends with some humour regarding the collections of false teeth and Victor saying that, you know, like, so obviously it does end with a bit of a laugh, but I remember at the time it didn't faze me at all because I was so used to watching Only Fools and Horses and seeing how they dealt with Granddad's funeral and how they dealt with the miscarriage and you know, with Cassandra, you know, they were always dealing with serious issues within that. So I came to you know, accept that in sitcoms there would be moments of genuine tragedy or darkness, you know, within the series. But funnily enough, it didn't necessarily hook me into watching the others right away. And I remember at the time, it wasn't until I got series 3, I remember, on video. And VHS releases were always odd. I mean, you could get, for example, series 1, 3, 4, and 6 as box sets. But if you wanted to get series 2, for example, you had to get the VHS of In Luton Airport and then the VHS of Who Will Buy. And it was the same with series 5. You had to get the VHS of Rearranging the Dust. So there were certain episodes I didn't see for a while. Funnily enough, Who's Listening was one of them, and that became my favorite in the end. But yeah, so then over time I just got really into it, and I just found myself, because I think what I loved about it was just how much I related to Victor Melder, even though obviously at the time I'm only a child, so it's just not like I'm not relating from an age perspective, but I just the number of times I would sit there and just think, you know, this isn't his fault. And
yeah,
you know, and I was always
you've had a lot to say, haven't you, about Patrick's relationship with Victor. We won't get into that now.
Yeah.
But The Wisdom of the Witch very much focuses a little bit on you know, them a very, for a brief time, a bit of a blossoming friendship over a drunk game of backgammon or whatever it is they're playing in this particular
Yes.
episode. But before we get into the Wisdom of the Witch, I thought I'd quiz you on this episode. I come up with 20 questions.
Right, okay.
I
All
purposely didn't tell you that in advance because I didn't want you to do extra
right.
homework and get 20 out of 20. Obviously, I wish you good luck in this quiz,
Right.
but I'd be interested to see how you do. And
Okay.
listeners can obviously play along at home. So I'll read out the questions and I'll give you, tell you if you're right or wrong there and then. So listeners may want to pause after each question I ask. So
Right.
let's get the quiz done first. Otherwise, if we discuss the episode, then do the quiz, you've got an unfair advantage already. So,
Yeah, it's
when did you
true.
last watch this episode, Anne?
A few days ago.
Okay, all right.
Watched it
Well,
on iPlayer.
let's open up with question one. Who was Margaret writing a letter to at the cemetery?
Well, just let me think. Was it?
And by the way, I have to take your
Oh.
first answer.
Oh
So
no,
think.
yeah, it was Ursula. Was it her cousin Ursula? Is that right?
Incorrect. She was writing to Iris
Iris. Oh damn.
about Ursula, but it
Oh.
was like, yeah. Now,
Oh right.
question two.
Yep.
What is the name of the loudmouth American in the restaurant? I want the actor's name. Obviously, he hasn't got a name in there. What's the actor's name? I'll
Do you
admit, I
know?
wouldn't have got this. Obviously, I researched these questions. I wouldn't have got this first time of asking.
No, I honestly don't know. No idea, I'm afraid.
Okay. Tony Sibbald.
All right, okay, all right.
Been in Superman and View to a Kill, James Bond, amongst other things.
Oh, he has, all right.
Question three. Don't worry, there's 20 of these. You're going to get some. Don't worry. Like,
Yeah. Oh,
question three. What are the names of the house clearance firm?
Gridley and is it Tunstall and Gridley?
Correct.
Ah, good, right.
I wish you said Gridley and Tunstall because that would have sounded funny.
yeah.
Question four. The farm where Victor works had how many people dressed unknowingly as a scarecrow? So how many before Victor?
Oh, before Victor.
Yeah. So the postman said, "You're the blank one this month."
Oh, he wasn't the third one, was he? Third this week.
So if you're saying Victor's the third this week, is your answer two before Victor?
You see, for some reason, I've actually got six in my head as well. But no, I tell you what, I might as well. Yeah, I'll go with it. Yeah, two before Victor. I could be wrong.
The quote was, "You're the fifth this week," so there was four.
Oh,
Yeah, there was
right.
four before.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
I watched this episode only yesterday, so obviously I've made sure these questions are and answers are accurate. Question five.
Yep.
Patrick is heard recounting an anecdote about an encounter with Victor. What episode is Patrick referring to, and what was the scenario? So, in the pub with his work colleagues,
Yeah.
and you just hear the end of his anecdote about, and it's about Victor. What's the scenario, and what was the episode he's referring to?
Can't remember what he was telling them. I know
So he
it
says something
was.
like, and then I saw him blah 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 blah, and he had the audacity to say blah 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 blah, and then.
Would it have been when because I always remember Patrick was amazed at the audacity of Victor to say, "What are you doing here?" when he found him in the cupboard at his brother-in-law's house.
Yeah, I'll give you that. What was the episode name? Do you remember?
The Hole in the Sky.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
Hole in the
it.
Sky and Victor locked in the larder. Yeah.
Yeah, that's that.
Well done. Question six. When Margaret offers a hand with the house move, Pippa responds with gratitude whilst bemoaning that Patrick would be as useful as a what? It's a very funny line. Pippa had some funny one-liners, quite brutal about Patrick
Yeah.
over the years.
It's something to do with the frog. I can't quite remember. I'm trying to think. Nah, I give in.
As useful as a glass buttock.
A glass buttock.
I
Yeah.
know, very amusing.
Yeah.
Question seven. Victor is ranting about the revelation he's been taken a ride for with his latest job. He states that he was asked to be a scarecrow so he could scare what kind of bird?
Oh, the rooks.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
And again, I wouldn't have got that. Not without researching the episode first. Question eight. When Patrick is pleading with Pippa to believe him when he says he's been faithful, Pippa responds with an initial ounce of suspicion based on apparent evidence. What is the evidence?
She said something about Patrick having either lipstick or makeup on him. I think she said something about she could oh no. She could smell her was it her perfume on him? I think he
Yes,
said that. Yeah.
correct. I can
Yeah.
smell her perfume on your breath. I'll give you that. Yeah. Question nine. This is tricky. Again, I wouldn't have got this. What
Yeah.
make and model car does Patrick drive? It's a right close-up shot of it. The tricky thing is that scene in the
Where's the black? I mean, I
they're
remember.
all navy blue dark
Yeah.
cars and they all look the same in the dark.
Yeah. No, I mean the thing is, I'm terrible enough with cars as it is. Nah, no, I give in on that one.
Vauxhall Cavalier.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I remember that.
Question 10. What items do the Pinnocks take with them when they've moved house, ready for Patrick and Pippa to move in? So a family called the Pinnocks leave a letter saying, "Welcome in the trenches," but they mention they've taken a number of items. Can you remember what items they've taken with them? I'll give you a clue.
Oh,
There's
yeah.
four that are we hear about.
Nah, don't remember, sorry.
So the daffodil bulbs in the garden, because they say, don't worry about the holes in the garden. We've taken the daffodil bulbs.
Right.
The brass number 16 on the door, because their new house is number 19.
Yeah.
The toilet seat and the light bulb.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, okay, yeah.
Question 11. Apparently the gas fire in the new house lights at what number attempt?
Oh, I mean, it takes a number of attempts
Yeah.
to
They
light
said
it.
PS or something. Lighting the gas fire works on the such and such attempt.
I'm going to hazard a guess and say it was the 10th.
It's
I could be pushing it a bit farther, but
23rd.
oh.
I know.
Okay.
23rd. Yeah.
I'm not pushing that at all
In that
then,
scene, you can
but
see their gas fire, but you can also see a bloody radiator right next to it, which seems a bit bizarre.
yeah.
Anyway. Question 12. What
Yeah.
does Patrick spray in Victor's face when he is revealed to Victor to be in the boot?
Oh yeah. Is it I'm trying to think about what it's called.
I don't need a brand name. It's just a generic type of spray.
I mean, it's not, is it pepper spray?
No.
No, it's not.
Is that your final
It's
answer?
a, right,
Oh, it probably isn't now. I said no.
well, I'll tell you what, I'll say is it like some kind of like fly spray or something?
No.
I can never quite remember what no, sorry. Well, I'll say my final answer was pepper spray, but I know I'm wrong.
Air freshener.
Air freshener, right, okay.
Yeah. Question 13. Where do
Yeah.
we first see Edwin?
Think actually.
Do we first see not? I know it's not a trick question. I know we see a picture of him. I actually mean the real live Edwin.
Oh yes, no, I've yeah, because I was trying to think of how far into the episode it was, but isn't it when, because he doesn't he tell Patrick he can't come into the toilet
Yeah.
because he's just found him in the toilet.
Correct. It's inside the
Yeah,
toilet. Yeah.
yeah,
Well remembered. Yeah.
yeah.
Nearly there. Question 14. Victor boasts of the mincemeat being extra lean at 10%. Patrick claims what mincemeat brand and percentage is better when they're prepping for their
Yeah, when
presumably bolognese or whatever it is.
they're making the food, yeah.
What's the matter? Is it extra lean?
Yeah. Is it
That's what Victor says.
trying to think, was he saying like was it 20%? But I can't remember what the type of meat that a mince was. I don't know, for some reason I'm thinking 20% of
So
something.
Victor says 10%, but Patrick says goes one better.
Nah, go
He
on.
says Patrick says Tesco do super lean 5%.
Oh, okay.
So
Okay.
in other words, a
Right, other
healthier
way.
option, yeah.
Yeah,
It's a
yeah.
perfectly good mince, as Victor would say.
Yes.
Okay, question 15. When Patrick begins chopping an onion to assist with the cooking, what does Victor lambast Patrick for with his technique and why? It's hard when you put on the spot, isn't it?
Sorry, what? Oh no, it's all right. No. He was saying something about it was the way he was cutting it. As I recall, it was the way he was cutting the onion. And he was saying, did he say something like, "You'll take your eye out if you do it like that," or something like,
Is that your final
"Okay,
answer?
Yeah.
He says, and use a rubber glove, because if you
Oh,
pick your nose in
yeah.
3 weeks, you'll still be able to smell it on your fingers.
Yeah.
Question 16. How much money did Tunstall and
Oh,
Gridley pay the trenchers for their stuff addressed to the Meldrews?
I remember this.
It's a boring question, I know, but
No, it's all right. It was a lot of money though. It was several £1,000, wasn't it? I think,
so yeah, Tunstall and Gridley did the house
yeah.
clearance, but accidentally at the trenches, and then they sent Margaret and Victor the money
The
because
money,
they thought they were dealing with them, and they put it in a brown envelope. Do you remember how much it was?
no, something's it's 1,000, there's something 1,000, but I don't remember.
£475,
Oh, blimey, right.
which is the cost of the original, was supposed to be for the house moving people, not the house clearance. Oh,
Yeah,
so
no,
you
of
like to
course.
think even in 95, all your house possessions would be worth more than 475 quid,
Yeah,
even with it
definitely.
before inflation. But anyway, question 17. When Patrick and Pippa arrive at the Hotel Country Club, what kind of hotel room is available to them?
Was it because of course I remember the room they went to, and it was like some kind of honeymoon suite or like a couple suite.
Correct. No, I'll take that. Not gonna
Yeah.
make you suffer by get. Yeah,
Yeah.
you got that right. Honeymoon suite. Question 18. Nearly there, and
It's
almost
all
there,
right.
mate. When
Yeah.
Patrick and Pippa make up, Pippa sends Patrick out of the room to fetch something. What does she ask of him?
Oh yeah. I could be getting mixed up here, but was she saying get us some champagne? Or oh no, but they might have already had that in the room, but something. No, I don't remember. Sorry. No,
A bucket
can't
of
possibly think.
ice.
Bucket of ice, right. Yeah.
Question 19. What sex toy is under the pillow that Pippa thinks is left for her when she reads the letter from the hotel? That's a joke question. That's not
Oh, I was literally sat here like I'll say like I don't remember that. When was this?
Do you know what? I had to bite my tongue whilst reading that at the same time. I'm surprised I was able to actually utter the words to that question.
Well, the thing is, it's the kind of thing that could very well happen in one foot of
Oh, wait,
the
yeah. There is obviously something of that.
grey.
It will kind of... Sorry. The real question 19. Victor has one arm in a cast and sling. Which arm? Another boring question, but I wanted to get to 20.
No, it's th yeah, that was his right.
50% chance here, Anne.
Yeah, that was his right arm. I remember him sitting in the chair
It
with
was
his
his
right
left
arm.
arm.
Was his left arm? Oh, blimey!
Oh,
Oh, I
sorry. It's just that you're so confident with that
know. Yeah, yeah,
result.
yeah. All right, no, but left arm
No.
then, yeah.
And final question.
Yeah.
Victor is watching the snooker. Which snooker player is apparently playing?
Oh right, now because he says, doesn't he, like, oh, he always goes to pieces
That's right.
in this
Yeah.
in the finale. Oh blimey, come on, Mr. Remember, that's like typical. Yeah, he says typical. It always goes to pieces in this in the last round.
Go on, you can do it.
Damn it. Oh, I can remember.
Classic,
I can remember
classic
all.
80s,
I can
90s.
remember. I can remember all the bit around it, but not this. Not the guy's sodding name.
I'll give you, I'll give, as it's Christmas, I'll give you a
Yeah.
clue. His nickname was the Whirlwind.
Well,
I think so, anyway. I've been a fool of myself there. Let me just Google that.
yeah, no, sorry, I'll concede and, well, admit defeat.
Jimmy White.
Jimmy White, right,
It is the
okay.
Whirlwind, yeah.
Yeah.
So let me just tally up what you've got
No,
there.
oh, it'd be terrible. I'll need to watch it again at this rate.
Yeah, you got six. You surprised me, Anne. But
Yeah.
you were put on the spot.
No,
And
it's all
I'm not
right.
saying in any way I would have done any better. It's only because
No, it's okay. Yeah.
look for the finer details. But anyway, let's go into the Wisdom of the Witch.
One foot in the grave.
I think the root cause to the Meldrews' problems with this episode is, what's her name? What was the name of the, is it Christine, PA, the secretary?
Oh yeah, the secretary. Yeah,
What
Christine.
who I'd call, she was a bitch. So you call this episode the
Yeah.
Wisdom of the Bitch. You
Yeah.
know, her lies is the root cause to the escalations and the torrid time that Patrick had to go through,
Oh yeah.
which in turn Victor had to go through.
Yeah.
And I suppose, although Melvin's clearly mistreats his girlfriend, that he went through because it made him go crazy all over her making. I mean, he was obviously deserved to be hounded for his treatment of his girlfriend, but dragging Patrick into all of this was quite unfair, wasn't it?
And it's I mean, this is on a rewatch. It struck me how much I felt sorry for Patrick, but it kind of alerted me to why perhaps up until this point, and I mean, I can't speak for everybody
Yeah.
who's followed the series up to that point, but you see, up until then, I think the re you see, even though we understand that at least on some level, we are supposed to feel sorry for Patrick a lot of the time. I think the reason why our sympathy for him is limited is because of his hostility towards Victor, who's essentially because Victor's naturally the person we tend to side with because we see everything from his perspective.
Yeah.
Not to dwell too much on what happens prior to this episode, but I mean, obviously, to begin with, they get off to a bad start with who will buy and who's listening. But in both of those episodes, I think to a large extent, we're left feeling like it wasn't Victor's fault because first of all, he wants to come clean and ask them, look, I don't know who you are, can you please? And Margaret stops him from doing that. So he ends up trying to drag them upstairs and then the next thing you know, he naturally receives a bottle of wine and thinks it's for him and of course you're left saying, well, it wasn't his fault. He didn't know it was coming to him. They never warned them in advance. So what was he supposed to do? The only thing he's guilty of really is covering it up. And again, that was Margaret's idea. So it's not really until series three where things happen and you start to see how Patrick could think of it as being Victor's fault. But throughout those series, you have things like the hose in the letterbox, you have the crab. They're all things that are indirectly connected to Victor, but not really his fault. So we're left feeling like he gets the blame very unfairly for a lot of things that happen. And now for the first time in this episode, we've got a situation where Patrick is the victim, nothing to do with Victor whatsoever. And I think that's why for the first time we are able to actually see things completely from Patrick's perspective and think he's really been done dirty here. I mean, this, you know, his secretary has told this blatant lie to her boyfriend, who's now hunting him down, and the poor bloke's just got no chance. I mean, you know, and she even says, like, well, I've tried to tell him I was winding him up, but he won't have it. Patrick is completely and utterly the victim of something outside of him and Victor entirely. So it's like we're able to really feel sorry for
Which
him.
what I found slightly odd was Pippa was remarkably calm about this rumor. Like, although, is it just she has, because she displays but her behavior in the beginning, she's quite pissed off that he's got this secretary that he's evidently spending a lot of time with, because she says, where are you taking her to lunch this time or something. So, and she's obviously a bit jealous and insecure. And then later on in the episode, he said, "Oh, this guy thinks I'm sleeping with her. She's told him that we are." But a paranoid person might go, "Are you double bluffing me? Have you actually been sleeping?" She doesn't seem to display any of that. She's obviously more worried about his whereabouts later on in the episode. She's not questioned it, is she? Which then suddenly shows trust, which is nice, I suppose. I just thought it was a bit inconsistent from Pippa. It's not slagging off the writing. It's just 1 minute she's quite, and you would argue that she thinks something's happened, because she says, I could smell perfume on your breath." So then him saying, "Look, I got a madman after me because he thinks I'm sleeping with her." Does she does that make her believe not no longer believe that anything's happened? Does it Is she secretly pleased that Patrick's actually got to go through a bit of trauma himself, because she's obviously been stewing over this, and now he's afraid of getting beaten up? What's your take on that?
It's strange, really. I mean, I think to begin with, it's a classic case of. You know, the funny thing is, she probably knows deep down that nothing's going on. But I think just on some level, she can't help but feel some, I guess you could say, insecurity about the fact that he's, you know, just spending time with this young lady secretary. But that being said, I do wonder if on some level her attitude is more saying to him, just you make sure nothing happens, you know, r rather than, you know, because I know she's acting like she thinks something is happening, but I can't help but feel that maybe it's more a case of she knows nothing is, but she's worried that it could unless she shows him that she's not happy about this.
Yeah,
And
she.
then when, sorry, but then when she realizes that he's got this, psychotic boyfriend chasing him down, I think on one level it's kind of, oh right, that it kind of it serves you right, except it doesn't serve you right because I know you weren't really doing that. So I guess she is concerned about him because she knows that he was really innocent, but at the same time there's a bit of satisfaction
Yeah.
out of
She,
the
I don't
fact
think she
that.
envisaged him being kidnapped and held hostage and
No, no,
within
no,
the town.
no.
She didn't, as far as she was concerned, it was just a jealous boyfriend who wanted to give him a bit of a slap and that's it.
Yeah.
And she probably would have taken that because she feels that he's probably taking the piss a bit with how much time he's spending with this woman at work.
Yeah.
You know, these office Londons, I'm not saying that he works in central London, but he might become a bit of a yuppie and in a Patrick way. Quite,
Yeah.
he's still quite square, isn't he? But
Yeah.
probably got quite comfortable working with his secretary quite a lot. So you just got to make up the story for yourself in the background, what's happened up to this point. And you know, this is a younger woman, attractive. Pippa might not be at her best, but also they've been pretty fairly strong, haven't they? She does snap at him now and again, but apart from
Yeah.
the Kazanzi, the gardener, who she was very much flirting with before
Yeah.
series six, when she does actually have a
Oh,
fling with
yeah.
some guy, they've
Yeah.
been pretty solid, haven't they? Like
Yeah.
in the respect, in a really sort of vanilla way. You know, they're
Yeah.
not spicy, are they? And
No, no. No.
think Pippa's more ambitious than Patrick in that department.
Yeah, one thing that struck me when I was re when I was watching it was how apparently how oblivious Patrick is to her annoyance. I mean, she's because of course she's really trying to show him how unhappy she is, or at least sort of show him like that, she won't be having any nonsense. And like he even you see him at one point question to himself about something she said, but then just kind of shrug it off and walk out the door, and you just think, like, wow. I mean, is Patrick really so oblivious, or is he just deliberately acting like that?
Yeah.
Imagine Victor. You can imagine Victor doing the same thing, and this is where it kind of shows how, him and Victor are more similar than they think. I mean,
Yeah, they are.
there's a similar kind of being just sort of oblivious when both their wives are trying to show them that they're annoyed, and
Yeah.
they just shrug it off.
It was rumored that at the time of filming, this would be the last one, but there was no plans for another one. So it did feel very final because obviously Victor saved Patrick's life. He's done this one good deed, more than a good deed, isn't it? He's, saved his life, put himself at risk. As we've discussed before, the gratitude isn't really there a year later in Starbound, is it?
No,
Yes.
it's not. Yeah.
No. Is Starbound the episode that follows? It is,
Yeah,
isn't it?
it is. Yeah.
Yeah, Boxing Day the following year, and you just think, got what's gone on in that 12 months for Patrick to act how he does? Because they've obviously moved house and they settle in. Actually, when it just occurred to me in Starbound, they're decorating their house, aren't they? They can't. I wouldn't have thought it's a whole year later in their universe because they're still painting a wall. And for all I know, they
Yeah.
might be really slow to decorate, but it
Yeah.
might just be a few weeks later because Christmas is not referenced at all in Starbound. It's not winter. It's just an episode of special. That makes it even worse. It's probably been weeks since his life's been saved, and he's still acting a bit odd around Victor. How strange is that?
Well,
If
it's
it was a year
yeah.
later, you might go, well, maybe there's loads of incidents that built up again and enough to annoy Patrick. But even then, you think, well, you did save my life, so no matter what you do from here on out, unless you try and kill me yourself. You
Yeah.
can be forgiven for any misunderstanding.
Yeah, it's I mean, right, because I don't want to obviously go on too much about what about the shall we say the Who's Listening Man in Long Black Coat part of the series, but this is essentially there are two resets. There's the one from Man in the Long Black Coat to The Broken Reflection, and then there's the one from Wisdom of the Witch to Starbound. So at the end of Man in Long Black Coat, obviously he writes Victor a note to say thanks for taking me to hospital, and essentially it's I think it's thanks for being there as well. And And the way it's presented, you see, it's funny because I can imagine a lot of people listening to this are going to be very surprised to hear me say this, but that reset has always bothered me. Well, I say bothered me, I don't mean I'm angry about it or anything like that, but I mean it's always made me more confused than this one. And you might say, well, why? He saves his life here. But I think what it is that back then, all that Victor had really done wrong was drink a bottle of wine that he wasn't supposed to. And the way it was presented there, if you go back and watch that scene where he receives the thank you note, there's a bit of a musical kind of cue, and Margaret obviously looks very happy, and there's a sense that, and of course you have Victor saying, what book? She says, are you going to put it in the book? He says, what book? And it's very there's a really there's a strong sense of bridges are being built. They may not have entirely reconciled, but bridges are being built.
Everything's put into perspective over their quabbles,
Yeah,
over quarrels, sorry, over.
and then 3 episodes later, it's almost like that never happened. Now, when you get to this one here, I think there are two things that kind of make me less surprised about the reset. One is that a lot more has happened at this point, and the other is that we never technically see Patrick's response to Victor saving his life. And that's something that I would have been very interested to see, because of course Victor goes flying out the window, go through broken glass. We see Margaret and Pippa and how they react to this. Now, I would like to think that Patrick, when he came downstairs, presumably he would have seen Victor unconscious on the ground. I would like to think that his response to seeing Victor unconscious and injured, having put his life at risk for him, I'd like to think he wouldn't have just gone, yeah, but he lost all my furniture, so I don't care. You know what I mean? I'd like to think that he would have been worried about him and been concerned.
Let's go back to the house clearance firm. That is not on Margaret or Victor to organize and arrange or assist in the logistics of their house removal people. Because the house removal people, by coincidence, have broken down. And the house clearance firm, for whatever reason, I never understood this. Why would they go to? We do learn that Ursula lived in the north because Pippa said, oh, she speaks to Margaret at one point in the episode about when she learns that apparently a witch has cast aspersions on Victor's, a plague of devils will be haunting Victor or whatever. And then Pippa says, is he still driving to the north this weekend or something? Why has Tunstall and Gridley gone to Riverbank, which is outside of London? Some argue it's in Bournemouth. I don't think they're in Bournemouth. I know the filming locations are Christchurch. Why would they not just go to be given the address? I mean, unless they went there to get the address to then drive to the north. Wouldn't you use a local firm in the north? I mean, I don't know. It's to assist with the storyline, I know. Because without Tunstall and Gridley being, a small firm in the south, if they weren't on the scene, then you haven't got the house clearance cock up. I know that. But it's just in their world is a bit weird, isn't it?
Well, I'm glad you've pointed out that bit, because I actually wasn't sure if I was missing something, or you see, because at the time it's presented to us as they've, because Victor thinks that they're the removal men. So of course he says, oh no, it's not here, it's next door. So of course they go next door. Now, later on, when we find out that they're a house clearance firm, the question I was asking myself is, well, why did they go to Victor and Margaret's then? Now, if you say, okay, they went to Victor and Margaret's to then get the address to go to sorry, Ursula's. Well, then when Victor says to them, oh, it's not here, it's next door, and this is where I'm questioning, okay,
It's quite
so
it's quite it's it should be a straightforward storyline, but when you think about it, you have to go, right, the house clearance people have gone to Victor's. They're supposed to go to Victor's. They're supposed to be there to be told this is the address for the late Ursula in the north.
yeah,
But
okay.
Victor's obviously quite understandably thinking, because Patrick and Pippa are moving that day, quite understandably he's gonna go, that you're supposed to go next door. That's for and why Pippa wouldn't sort of check and go, right, you've got the address for my new house, haven't you, right? You think they, do you know what I mean? Like, Patrick and Pip have got to take some responsibility here.
Well, so many things. This is another case of, yet again, I mean, to me, And I know that some people might think I'm overlooking a few things, but I know I've said this on the podcast group before. I've always felt that from series three through to five, it becomes very blurred as to exactly what Patrick's problem with Victor is, because a lot of things happen, but they're not things that Patrick can for absolutely certain say Victor did that. And it's and th this to me is the first time that something that a proper blunder has occurred that Victor properly takes the blame for. This to me is like the biggest thing that's happened since the bottle of wine.
Agree. Oh, I mean, putting that into perspective, a bottle of expensive wine versus all your possessions being taken is that's quite a big deal. That's a reason to fall out, even though I maintain that the trenchers should take some responsibility. It's your house move. I don't know, it was the time before mobile phones being that commonly used, excuse me. But surely the house removal people had an old Motorola brick or a payphone to use to say, we're broken down. We can't be with you today. It's also daft to pick holes in a great episode because not everyone's got that kind of common sense, actually, if we're being honest. Some businesses, big and small, don't always use common sense with communications, actually. So it's actually quite all the same realistic that they wouldn't hear from the actual people supposed to be moving their stuff, and Tunstall and Gridley at the same time are arrived to do what they think is a job. I obviously in the end, I take it they would have got their stuff back, but that would have been quite a tricky to get their stuff back once they get hold of them. They paid tons of grid, paid 475 quid and given a receipt or whatever. Probably don't legally have to return those goods, do they? Or do they? That's a bit of a. I need a
No.
solicitor or a lawyer on this pod to tell me where do the trenchers lie with their rights on this one. Because they haven't consented. Have they consented? Have they signed anything? They probably wouldn't, have they? The Meldrews would have signed a document to say, yes, this invoice is acceptable, please, for 475 quid. Just clear this old lady's house up in the north for us. So actually, it's quite easy to pick. There'll be a massive loophole in that because the trenchers said, we didn't sign anything and that's not for our address to clear. So actually, they would have got it back pretty easily if that. If Tunstall and Gridley are a legitimate business, they'll be easily traceable even before internet. So,
Well, they haven't got it back by the start of series six, have they? Because Patrick, when he's talking about the man
course,
next door,
therapy. In a
yeah, and he,
yeah, has he
yeah,
not
and he,
got it back? I can't remember what he
no,
says.
he says that our house has never felt like home since the man ne next door lost all our furniture,
Oh no!
and
So it was never returned.
yeah, they never got it back.
So that's.
So like, yeah,
Where, if your life was saved by someone that you found irritating,
yeah.
but they also were responsible for all of your stuff, being taken, well, how would you feel towards them?
I think it would depend greatly on other things that had happened. However, I can't help but think that if it were a situation where I knew that at least some of the blame was on me. You see, this is the thing, because like you say, it is odd that when these men turn up, that neither Patrick nor Pippa actually. You see, it all seems to be due to a lack of communication. And I remember like watching the scene where Margaret is basically ranting at Victor on the phone about what's happened, as if clearly it's all his fault. And you think, well, like Margaret, you see, this is where Margaret sometimes really could keep Victor informed better than she does, because it's not clearly she hadn't told him. I know obviously she told him about getting in touch with people to clear out Ursula's house, but it doesn't sound like she told him that they were arriving that day. And also, she's gone out. Wouldn't you think she'd want to be there when they arrive to be? So, if you actually dissect it to fully, there's a lot of blame on a lot of people here. Margaret could have communicated with Victor better. The trenches could have communicated with the men that are coming to the house. So, yeah, you could say, okay, maybe Victor shouldn't have sent them next door. But at the same time, it's like for him to be apparently to blame for everything. And I'm sorry to harken back to this, but yet again, it's the same thing with the wine. You could say, they didn't tell them that they were having it delivered to their house. Margaret was the one who said, let's cover it up and put
Yeah, she
carbonated
often
cask.
does that, doesn't she? She often wants to take the shortcut and lie away out of things. It's the same in Monday Morning We'll Be Fine. Is it Monday Morning We'll Be Fine?
Oh, gosh, yes.
where he just wants to say, I'm not Steve Posnett. I'm
That's
Victor
right.
Meldrew. I'm the one he's just been slagging off. He wanted just to come clean with it.
Well, right. Do you know what? When I first watched that episode, and I remember my mum did the same thing, I think, where we thought that the only Victor, sorry, the only Victor, we thought the only reason that Victor wasn't coming clean was because he didn't want to admit to being the, you know, the guy that Billy Whitney was saying was a complete prat at school, this kind of thing. But actually, it's the fact that his wife, you know, Margaret lied to her and said, "We can't come to your wedding because my husband's, you know, obviously in the hospital." So if Victor, now I suppose you could make the argument that what Victor could have, you know, Victor could have come clean about being Victor Meldrew, but he, the reason Margaret is stabbing him under the table with those salad tongs is that she thinks he's gonna drop her in it about the fact that he's her husband and that she lied about the wedding and, you know, not being able to go.
Well, it's a bit tragic, really, isn't it? I mean,
Yeah.
Margaret lies about going to a funeral in series six, doesn't she, to get out of. Is it someone Jean knows? Jean and cousin Wilf, they're
Yeah.
someone's funeral, and she said, "Oh, we had to, someone on Victor's side had a, an accident or
Yeah.
something like that." So yeah, Margaret is the more dishonest one with that. When Patrick's the what's the opening episode of series six? God, it's been such a long time. It's Executioner's Song.
Yeah, that's
When
it, yeah.
he's going on that little speech about the man next door, that this is the man. When he says about took all our stuff, they're probably in that timeline. He's probably exaggerating. They probably got most of it back,
Yeah.
but or maybe they got it all back. But he's just saying at one point someone took all of our stuff. No thanks to the man next door. So again,
Yeah.
dissect it. They might have had it all back within that time period. Probably shouldn't dwell on that too much, but.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
So the use of animals in Monfort is obviously massive, and I always recount in the Webber book, Renwick was in series one. I might be in the opening episode. Victor befriends a robin bird, maybe. I don't know what kind of bird it was.
Yeah, it was in The Big Sleep. It was
The
in
Big
the
Sleep,
episode two, yeah.
well remembered, and
Cool.
Renwick was sort of mortified at the prop used. He didn't think it looked great. But then you look at Edwin the spider and other animals that are clearly not real, that are just dress up. The Edwin the spider, if you compare that to the bird,
Yeah.
looks really comical. They do use a real spider in one shot, don't they? When Pippa's in the car trapped,
Yeah. Yeah.
that's pretty horrific. But
Yeah,
in the
definitely.
toilet, they probably, understandably, couldn't use a real one to be placed inside the toilet, which is just cruel. But that didn't look very good.
No.
All the same, it makes it all the funnier, doesn't it? When it looks a little bit comical.
Yeah, and in fact, the funny thing about that scene as a whole for me is that, you know, obviously Patrick and Victor have had their misunderstandings, and yeah, some of them could have been easily cleared up. I mean, I always think of the rice in Broken Reflection where, you know, I was like, you'd think, because one thing that struck me just from rewatching episodes in general is, you know, yeah, I obviously sympathize with Victor a lot, but there are times where you do think to yourself, surely if you were Victor in this situation, you would want to explain to the person what was going on. If some, if the next door neighbor is giving me looks as if I'm some kind of lunatic because I'm stabbing some rice, I'm going to want to say to them, oh, I've just been to the Chinese and I have a bad feeling that they've had pest control people in. I'm just really worried about the food I've just ordered. You know, but in this episode, it's like I can see why he doesn't want to tell Patrick there's a spider in there. And I did really feel for it because it's one of those times where Victor is rather than situations like before where you think, come on, Victor, just explain what's going on. In this, I do feel for him because he wants to obviously protect Patrick from any unpleasant fear or anything like that. But obviously he's torn between thinking, well, if I tell him he's going to be absolutely petrified and he's not going to want to come in here and everything. But at the same time, by not telling him and sort of it's like either he can't win in this situation. Either Patrick's gonna go into like a panic or he's just gonna think Victor's a lunatic as usual and it's like he can't win.
Tell me, apart from Wisdom of the Witch, where it's debatable whether this was Victor's fault, when has it been Victor's fault where Patrick's on the other end, on the receiving end of some bad luck? No thanks, apparently no thanks to Victor.
Okay,
I've
well,
phrased that terribly, but when has Victor been wrong in general, I suppose, but certainly where Patrick's concerned, if at all.
you see, funnily enough, it's remarkable to think that Hugo, the boxer was only in One Foot in the Algarve, and yet
Oh, yeah.
Victor, in a way, was more guilty of wronging him in many ways than he was to Patrick, because he, obviously he left Mrs. Warboys in the car, and then next thing you know, Hugo was diving in to try and rescue her. And so, I always felt like Hugo was kind of Patrick,
Yeah.
except it really is Victor's fault, but like when you look at, I mean, if you go right back to Who Will Buy, even then you could say, well, wouldn't you think that, because Patrick and Pippa, they've not actually met Victor before. I know they shouted hello when they were going on holiday, but you'd think that they'd say like, oh, we're your next door neighbors. But in that situation, he wants to come clean and Margaret stops him. So it's like, okay, fair enough. The bottle of wine, I don't believe was Victor's fault, in all honesty, and I've always maintained that. And then in Man in the Long Black Coat, they're just fighting with each other. But when you get to series three, I mean, there are times, like, for example, where he's poking the rice when he's raking the carpet, and all he has to do is just explain what's going on. So there are times like that where, I mean, technically speaking, he's not doing anything wrong to Patrick in that instance. It's just that Patrick thinks he's mad, and he could easily explain what's happening. And then you get, for example, they're trying to sell their house, and nothing that happens there is really Victor's fault either. So you just kind of go,
Let
well,
me ask about the Broken Reflection, where the episode ends with the house being flooded because of the neighbor opposite getting his revenge for Victor poking. That was 90% Victor's fault because he started a fight, an argument with a couple of the ladies who were chucking litter. Now he was right to confront it. The manner that Victor did it through the window and sort of slightly abusing him a little bit with the language. That is going to cause them to get their hubbies and seek revenge. But Victor, people forget that Victor was in Patrick and Pippa's house watering the plants. Some people forget that and they go, what was he doing in Patrick's house? Well, they were there, they were on holiday and they asked for plant their plants to be watered. But Victor was doing a, you know, good deed by watering the plants and defending Patrick and Pippa's garden lawn from being littered. Because obviously Victor knows all about litter, as we know in series one onwards. But obviously those ladies gonna go, oh, hit him at number 21 or 17, whichever number it is, but where Patrick lives. Clearly, it doesn't occur to him that something could they would get their own back. They would retaliate is the word I was looking for. So I would probably say that's Victor's fault, even though he was there doing a good deed. He approached it, you know, wrongly. How about the What was the episode with the lit? Oh, the dramatic fever with the builder in town where he emptied a whole bag of rubbish to retaliate
Into the wrong car.
to the wrong car. Again, you get the sentiment, you get why he's doing it, but pitch picking fights. Of course, he was going to get a copper piping wrapped around his head by some big clout of a guy, you know, for confronting him.
Do you know one thing that I think gets overlooked as well is in Warm Champagne. Now, up until Warm Champagne, the only thing I think I've not mentioned is the crab. I mean, I don't think that that was necessarily Victor's fault. Although what is interesting is that in series six, Patrick claims that it made him infertile, and I think to myself,
Quite
well,
dark. That's a big claim, isn't it?
definitely, definitely,
Because I quite sure were they trying, was it known that they were trying for babies before? Warm champagne? I don't know.
Well, I mean, of course, Pippa lost the baby in Man in Long Black Coat. In Warm Champagne, though, you have Patrick doing something really quite cruel to Victor with the dog turds, and not only that, but he writes this diary about him. And I'm thinking to myself, every time that Victor's done even the slightest thing, or Patrick has perceived that he's done the slightest thing, he's held it against him. Now, Patrick not only does this thing to Victor, but he also writes this diary confirming that he deliberately did this, basically saying every nasty thing under the sun about him. And apparently, there's no consequence of this. Now, I can't help but think that that would have absolutely sent Victor into an absolute rage, and that if ever Patrick ever, tried to complain about anything again, he would have said, you wrote this diary, you had me rooting through dog poo and all this kind of thing. You haven't got a leg to stand on, quite frankly, with
Which episode was that again? Remind me of the diary.
at Warm Champagne.
Warm Champagne. I'm just thinking what came after Warm Champagne. You probably know at the top of your head. The trial.
And then it
Then the
was
Secret of the Seven Sorcerers. was trying to think how what their relationship was like a couple of episodes later, because obviously the trial was just Victor.
Well, a couple of episodes later, all that re you see, Patrick and Victor in that episode never really meet because Victor's out doing his Lollipop Man duties,
Oh,
and he.
it's an Owen Brenham episode, isn't it? More than oh no,
Yeah.
Angus Deaton was in that episode.
Yeah, he thinks that Victor's basically locked this man in the trunk, which of course he has, but it was an accident. But of course they never actually meet, and then you have Algarve. So it's not until the man who blew away that they ever meet again, and Patrick yet again does something really cruel, basically making Victor think that he lost his job because Mr. Foskett went past the window and.
Was that the episode Patrick and Victor had a had to share a sausage at that Vietnamese restaurant? Was it a
Oh,
Vietnamese?
that's Hole in the Sky. That's when they're
That's a later episode. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm very hammy with my 1 foot knowledge in
Yeah, no, it's all
recent
right.
times. I haven't watched it for well, I just this call this the one and only time I'll ever do an advert on the pod. Well, I've plugged other podcasts, but can I just say the Three
Yeah.
Comedos podcast is out there. That's with myself, Darren and Simon, and I've had some loyal listeners download. I thank you, and also even more loyal that you're still listening despite episode one and two of the Three Comedians. My audio is atrocious. I don't know what happened, but you can barely hear me. And I'll say it for some of you or many of you is that that's probably a good thing, right? But it's still annoying that you would have to turn the volume up when I speak and then turn it back down. But that. As the episodes progress, it does get better. And I've sorted out mic issues now. And really sorry to those who've struggled, probably, tuning in. But they've been addressed now. So stay with us. Hopefully, you continue to enjoy it. That's assuming you have been enjoying it. But yeah, that's the Three Comedians podcast out now.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to 1 foot. So, Ant, where does Wisdom of the Witch rank for you in every episode of 1 foot that's ever been?
Well, I was thinking about this because well, Who's Listening is my favorite. Did you know
Who's listening is
that?
your favorite? And I but just so you know, we've just recorded a Christmas special, Three Comedos,
Oh yeah.
and I speak about Who's Listening because we
Oh,
talk about our
okay.
favorite Christmas specials. Bit of a spoiler there, but I may or may not include that in my top three.
Oh yeah, okay.
So I do talk a little bit about Who's Listening, not that in depth, but it's mentioned. So
Well,
anyway.
it's funny because in the past I seem to remember on it might have been on the podcast page, there may have been a point where you asked like about people's top five episodes. Now, I wanted at the time to have it fairly balanced between specials and regular episodes. But in truth, because you see this sitcom for me is a lot like Fools and Horses in as far as it's one of those where the specials are arguably some of the best they did. I mean, some sitcoms, would find it problematic to go past the half hour format. And I know that in Father Ted, they actually struggled a bit with the Christmas special. If you listen to the commentaries, they talk about, they really found it hard to sort of pace that episode properly in the Christmas episode.
Yeah, Christmassy
But
Ted.
I actually think in retrospect that my second favorite is Endgame.
Endgame,
Now,
yeah, I put that right up there.
it's funny because I said that my reasons for liking Who's Listening were obviously that I'm very biased towards Christmassy things and everything. And yet, because you could say, well, Wisdom of the Witch is a very it's not necessarily Christmassy, it's very wintry, and The Man Who Blew Away also has that as well. I think the reason that Endgame I've put second is because I just think putting aside any kind of Christmas bias, I feel like Endgame is this such a strong episode. But I would be willing to put Wisdom third, because it is an episode that I do like returning to, and I must admit that it is one that I will watch at Christmas a lot. I think it's got that atmosphere to it. I think it's got a very wintry feel. And it's a special that I've often found that I in terms of, how there are certain episodes that you just find you return to, and they always feel fresh somehow. And series five as a whole has got that for me. There's something about series five that I just love returning to it. But yeah, I think wisdom could very well be my third favorite. And I think at this rate, people are going to be thinking, so basically, you like the specials the most. Well,
It's hard not to. They're so bloody good. Like
yeah, I know.
throughout my time on the pod, I think I put Endgame as my favorite. Then I switched to Algar. But I have mentioned on the Three Comedos about Who's Listening being my favorite Christmas special. I haven't previously said that, but I think maybe it's helped by discussions with you offline, as it were. The
Yeah.
hours and hours we've had about Who's Listening alone has made me, was my appreciation's grown for it evermore. And it is a cozy episode, especially the opening scene when they're playing battleships or whatever it might be over the telephone with Margaret's mum.
The thing about Who's Listening, though, is that it's not just the Chris. I mean, for me, it's the fact it's obviously I love the I think the subplot with Mrs. Burrage is very moving, especially when the husband comes back. Obviously, Reverend Croker's a cracking guest character, and so there are things like that. Whereas I think with some other episodes, it's more about the jokes and the plot. Like, but I do like Wisdom a lot. I return to it, and I do think had it been the final, I mean, I can't say that I wish it had been the final episode because then we wouldn't have had Starbound and Endgame, and even I mean, I think the Dawn of Man, funnily enough, the penultimate episode is one of the funniest. And it's really quite ironic that it's that Victor's death that comes right after. I remember reading what I forget where it was. It could even have been a YouTube comment or anything, but I remember someone saying that they really didn't like that Victor was killed off, that they would rather he had just been left ranting and we could think he was still moaning to this day. And I thought to myself, do you know what? That's exactly what the end of Wisdom is. Because we are teased with the idea that he could be dead, and then it's like, no, you're not getting rid of him. He's still here. He's still moaning, and Margaret is delighted, and it's a really lovely ending. Had it ended there, I think you could say, well, it's a nice ending, and presumably, him and Patrick are at a good point now that obviously he saved his life. One thing that struck me about this episode was how well the two of them actually got on together when they were forced to interact with each other. It's one of the things that strikes me about these kind of comedic rivalries that you see in some TV shows is that a lot of them are born out of the fact that the two of them don't actually talk to each other very much, and it's all kind of misunderstandings and things like that. As soon as Victor and Patrick were in that house, I remember thinking they actually get on really well, don't they? And it's kind of like I mean, obviously it gets ruined by the whole furniture fiasco, but like. But it's
They
surprising.
had the potential to, at least under the influence of alcohol, have some sort of friendship. But yeah, if only maybe Endgame and Starbound came before Wisdom, then you could say, oh, that'd have been good if that was the last episode. I got a appreciation for Series 6. I think it's a strong series. I feel Renwick was talented enough to continue it on for another two or three series, but you can totally get why it was appropriate to kill Victor off, even though it's heartbreaking, isn't it? But it's left us wanting more. And obviously, you can always read the book. The book kind of gives you that alternative reality to One Foot. What if things carried on as normal? If the stage play ever was to go ahead, would have to be with David Remnick's blessing, then there would be an alternative ending. That's all I'm saying.
I mean,
Privy to the script.
I can only assume that at the I like to think that at the end of this episode, that Patrick was concerned for Victor's well-being, that he was grateful, but that presumably over time he then remembered kind of other things, and I guess that's the only way I can really make sense of his attitude in Starbound. Although I do like to think, because one of the I never really had a problem with Victor being killed. I actually kind of thought it was a really fitting end, funnily enough. But I think, as I've said to you before, like the weird thing about that episode is there is a lack of closure. Obviously, we don't know, like, did Margaret like put extra pills in the glass or not, that kind of thing. But obviously we don't see Mrs. Warboys or the Trenches or Mr. Swaney. I think it's fair to say that Mrs. Warboys and Mr. Swaney and even Patrick and Pippa would have been very upset about what had happened. And I like to think that Patrick would have, at least remembered Victor with some positivity, because one of the things that's always kind of befuddled me is that when you look at Who Will Buy and Who's Listening, obviously they don't get off to a good start with the misunderstanding and the wine and all that. But when you think about it, Pippa and Patrick's first interactions with Victor involve him doing an event for charity and helping Pippa's father on Christmas Day. You really would think that those events would have left some positive feelings. And this is why I've always thought that even though we never see Reverend Croker again, I would have thought that over the years he would have been defending Victor and saying, look, he always seemed like a good man in the time I knew him. And I've always felt that it would have been interesting to have seen what his interactions with Patrick and Pippa were like over the phone
Well, yeah, but may
yeah.
well may well maybe Patrick and his father-in-law never got on. Maybe it doesn't matter what
Yeah.
Tom Croker says. Maybe
Yeah.
he maybe found him irritating.
Yeah.
Well, Anthony, that's been a great discussion with you. We've
Yeah.
delved into other areas of One Foot, which I'm glad we did. Obviously, focused on Wisdom of the Witch, but naturally, we deviated a little bit, but still in One Foot in the Grave universe. So, hope you've enjoyed coming on the pod for the second
Yeah.
time.
Yeah, thank you.
And
Yeah.
yeah, I hope you're in for a lovely Christmas, mate.
Yeah, and you. Yeah, well, thanks very much. It's been fun. It's been great.
Pleasure. Take care.
All right, you too.